Hey, good morning, good evening, good afternoon. It's your guy Larry, and you just tuned in to Larry's Biblecast. How are you guys doing today? What a wonderful and awesome day the Lord has made. And guess what? The Bible says that, and we should always rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Today, as you're listening to this, probably afterwards, either you had a wonderful Valentine's Day or are having a good Valentine's Day. Hopefully you're not listening to this obviously on Valentine's Day. You should be with your significant other, the one that you love and the one that you care about. And me and my wife and I, we had a wonderful Valentine's Day, but we also had a wonderful pre-Valentine's Day. And I say that because we got a chance to go out and celebrate Valentine's Day before the crowds, and before February 14th. And so definitely we had a wonderful time together, just acknowledging how good God has been to us, but how much we love one another and how much we care for each other, and just the things that we bring toward each other in a relationship. Do you know that it's so awesome that when you're in a wonderful marriage or relationship, whatever the Lord has placed a wonderful partner in your life, you know what that partner brings to you, what he or she brings in the relationship is just awesome. Just it makes it a wonderful team, right? And so, you know, you look over and you see that God has blessed you with someone that is just a wonderful partner. Again, like I said, I can't stress that word enough, because it's good when you it's one thing when you're by yourself and you have to do everything by yourself, but then when you have a partner, you know, that partner is helping and going alongside with you and just doing the things that you would know that, you know, normally would do. So praise God for my wife, and she's such a wonderful woman, and God has blessed me with such a wonderful, beautiful woman. She's smart, she's intelligent, she's strong, and she's just wonderful all around. And so I'm just really thankful, and God bless her. Yes, both of us are work very hard, and we work our schedules and stuff. But again, I just want to take this time to really just appreciate her and shout her out this morning. So, along with that, she also, me and her, we went out to, put some flowers on my mother's grave over the weekend. And so, that was a little tough, a little tough for me. My mother has passed on. It's been a good while now since she has passed away. And so that was kind of a somber moment, but an emotional moment for me. I really don't, it doesn't really hit you until you're there at the graveside. And so that was how it was for me. I'm okay until I get to the graveside, and when I get there, then yeah, all the emotions are flowing once again, all over again. But I just thank God that my mother was a good mother for me. I had my sister and I. We had wonderful parents and a wonderful mother. The reason why I went out there, because February 14th is her birthday. She would have been 73 years old. So it was a time for me to just go out there and acknowledge my mother too as well. So I didn't mention that before, but I just mentioned it now, sharing that with you all. And those of you that lost a parent, or parents, and like in my case, I had lost both of my mother and my father. It's pretty tough. It's one of the toughest things, other than losing a sibling or a child. Even my wife, actually, she lost her son. It's a lot tougher actually losing your child, because you don't, as a parent, you don't expect for your child to go. But as for me, my parents, they were older. My mother was not as old as my father was, but And all the same, losing them is still tough. And these your parents are who you originated from. And so once the Lord calls them home, you know, yeah, you do miss them physically, even though you know spiritually where they are at. So just wanted to mention that this morning. And so, again, I'm having a good day, though. I'm just thankful that God has woke me up this morning and given me strength to continue on. And the Lord has blessed me continuously and just wonderfully. So, yeah, so what we're going to do is we're going to go into this devotional called Favor. This is day two of the devotional of Favor. And man, you're going to find this pretty interesting because one of the things that we hear favor a lot, we hear favor in churches. Sometimes the churches, when we attend church, the pastors, they talk about the favor of the Lord is upon you. But I'm going to tell you, going through this devotion is really interesting because we're starting to see that sometimes God places his favor on the most likely, unlikely places. So in other words, considered nothing big, something that's very insignificant, very small, in a place like Bethlehem that was not a very well-known city. And so this is amazing that when we go into this, you'll hear a little bit about it, but we'll read some scriptures about the city of Bethlehem and how God, out of any place in the world, he chose Bethlehem to be the place where Christ Jesus will be born. And also, you know, other people like Mary, you know, being a virgin woman that he used to place his favor upon her to be the vessel that he would use to bring the Savior of the world through her. So it's amazing what we kind of connect favor to, right? And during this time, you know, as reading this, think about it in your life. What has God done, or how has God placed his favor upon you in a way that you would have thought that it was just so insignificant, so small, but yet he chose you or chose a situation or chose a place? Because remember, God will take something small and use it for his glory. It will be in such a phenomenal way that you would have never thought that he could use something so significant in our eyes and use it for a greater purpose, which would be his glory, which would be his ultimate purpose and plan in your life or maybe the life of others. So stay tuned for that. And again, thank you again. Hopefully, like I said, have a wonderful week and a wonderful time going forward. God bless you all. Thank you again for listening. And also, you know, share this podcast with others. Share this episode with other people. Highly thank you for that. And just all the listeners that listen to me. So I really appreciate it. So sit back and relax and enjoy this next episode of Larry's Biblecast. All right, so welcome back. So we're going to get right into this devotional. This is day two of Favor, a YouVersion. I'm not sure if it's an original YouVersion devotional, but we're going to get into this and discover what exactly God is going to share with us when it comes to his word and what it talks about in this devotional about favor. So we're going to read and start off Matthew chapter 2, verse 6. And it says, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people. Christians around the world are able to identify Bethlehem as the birthplace of Jesus. Bible references, Christmas songs, and movies attribute to the prominence of the first nativity location in the Middle East. Yet at the time of Jesus' birth, Bethlehem was not an impressive town. What was once renowned as the City of David was significantly reduced to a small mountain village a few hundred years later. Oftentimes, God's favor does not intersect with worldly standards of beauty, influence, and resources. What our natural eyes identify as common or ordinary, even weak or flawed, can become extraordinary when infused with the breath of heaven. God showcases hidden potential when he releases his power so that his name can be praised. This frees us to be less concerned with our status and appearance so we can be more focused on our spiritual posture. What does God ask of us? To act justly, love, mercy, and walk humbly with him. Invite God's favor into your life by bringing him glory whatever you are today. Let's get into the scripture portion real quick. Now, this is going to be kind of lengthy, but we're going to get into this before we go on our next break. So we're going to be reading out of Matthew chapter 2. And it says, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet had wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people." Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too. After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother." And the angel said, "Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." That night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother. And they stayed there until Herod's death. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet, "I called my son out of Egypt." Herod was furious when he realized that the wise men had outwitted him. He sent soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, based on the wise men's report of the star's first appearance. Herod's brutal action fulfilled what God had spoken through the prophet of Jeremiah. A cry was heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning. Rachel weeps for her children, refusing to be comforted, for they are dead. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Get up, the angel said. Take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel, because those who were trying to kill the child are dead. So Joseph got up and returned to the land of Israel with Jesus and his mother. But when he learned that the new leader of Judea was Herod's son, Archelaus, he was afraid to go there. Then after being warned in a dream, he left for that region of Galilee. So the family went and lived in a town called Nazareth. This fulfilled what the prophets had said. He will be called a Nazarene. So, isn't that wonderful? Just a second here. So we see how
God took direction in this. He basically maneuvered through the situation of the life or the birth of Jesus. You know, one thing I love about God is the sovereignty of God. God, throughout the ups and downs of the situations that we've read, he knows how to navigate. He sends his angels to warn Joseph about Herod, King Herod at the time. And see, one thing about it, you know, I was kind of cracking up a little bit about when they said about King Herod was outwitted. You know, one thing about God is never outwitted. He's never outsmarted. He knows exactly what's going to happen before it happens. And so this is why I always say that no matter what you go through in life, no matter what the situation we have in our world today, God is in total control. Even in the midst of a situation like Joseph and Mary was. Remember, they started out in Bethlehem. And if you notice, everything and every location that they were at, it fulfilled the prophecy before it even happened. The Old Testament, the prophets of old, Jeremiah, in the book of Jeremiah, where it talks about that, talks about the place of birth in the city or in the town of Bethlehem in Jerusalem. Okay. And then leading up to the end where they were in Nazareth. These were all places and locations that were foretold. So what I get from this is the Bible's validity, the validity of God's word, and just so many things that I've gotten, and how much God is truly involved with your life. So this is a lot of stuff that I've gotten from this chapter in Matthew 2. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come right back, and we're going to finish it out with the last few verses, and sit back and relax so that we can continue in God's favor. All right. So welcome back. So we're going to go ahead and get into the scripture, the next scripture, which is found in the book of Micah in the Old Testament. It's chapter 5, verse 2. And this is a prophetic word to the town of, I believe, the town of Jerusalem. But let's read what it says. It says, chapter 5, verse 2, it says, "But you, O Bethlehem of Ephratah, are only a small village among all the people of Judah. Yet a ruler of Israel whose origins are in the distant past will come from you on my behalf." Excuse me. And so now we're going to read Micah 6, chapter 6, verse 8. "Know, O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you: to do what is right, to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. So let's talk about this, actually, this passage, which is Micah 6 and 8. This is important as far as believers go, as we are learning to walk with God, learning to understand what is required of us, right? Understand this, God has always separated us as his holy people, as his people that he wants to separate for his own purpose, his own glory, right? Praise God, first of all, let me stop here and just say, praise God that if you're a child of God, that you're listening right now, that you are his. You are his separate people, right? And with that being said, you know, you are a light in a world of darkness, in a world of confusion, in a place that is full of evil sometimes, right? We see it on the news and everything. Well, this here, as it says here, it says that what is required of you is to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. These are just three things. Now, I know that when we do this as a requirement, or as we are understanding how to walk with the Lord, that's where favor begins. That's where favor happens. He knows that you and I need certain things. We ask for certain things. We sometimes request certain things in our prayers. And God understands that, but he also sees your heart. He sees your actions. He sees your devotion to him. And as you are devoted closer and closer to him, as you walk closer to the Lord, what does he do? He gives you this favor. He gives you the things that you're asking for. Sometimes you and your family or your spouse or you know, whatever your needs are in your home and your life, God is listening. He's listening to your prayers. He's not just listening to your prayers, but he's also watching you. And I think that's a lot of times I think that we forget that. We forget that God is always watching us. And why wouldn't he? Because he loves you. See, anybody that loves you, and especially loves you in the way God loves you, God is always watching your conduct and how you behave. And he's not, you know, he's not really like judging you, but he sees you. You ever have like parents, you have your child and maybe your son or your daughter, maybe you have a newborn or something, and you're constantly like focus your attention on them and you're admiring them. You're admiring the way they talk, the way their little facial expressions are. Maybe their first words are coming. Maybe they're walking, they're taking their first steps and things like that. Well, understand this. As a believer, as a son and daughter of God, God is constantly watching you. He's watching you when you wake up, when you prepare yourself for the day, when you settle down for at night, what you're doing throughout the day, your conversations and things and how you interact with other people. Listen, I will tell you this from experience, that as I grew in the Lord, as I began to get closer to God, I understood that his interest in me was to a place where I never understood fully how interested God was with me, or what was in me, until I began to have this relationship with the Lord. When I begin to have a true, sincere relationship with the Lord, the best way I can describe it is my sense of God became more open, more aware that he was there. He was always watching me. I recently had a conversation with someone that was asking me a question about knowing when God talks to you, right? And one of the things that I remember saying is the fact that a lot of times what happens is that God is always speaking, and God is always, he's always there. He's always around. There's not a time or place in your life or in my life or others that God is not there. But the wonderful thing about it is that our sense of who we think God is, or where he is, or what he's interested in, or if his presence is there, right? A lot of times we go to church, or we'll go to a worship service or anything like that, or maybe at home, and you say, oh, the presence of God was here. But understand this, in a very real sense, and the reason why I can honestly say this is because God is all-knowing, he's ever-present, he's all-present, and he's all-powerful. Those three characteristics, okay, of his knowledge, of his whereabouts, and his power, his authority even, is that he's always there. There has never been a time where God has not ever been there, okay? Even when you may not feel his presence, maybe you may not feel his presence, he's always there. Now, the reason why I say that is because a lot of times in our walk with the Lord, what happens now is that what begins to happen is we begin to sense that God is always there and aware. And there's a time in our lives where we start to see and understand this in a real sense, especially when we start drawing closer to the Lord and start acknowledging him in our life. I know there's a time in my life where I didn't acknowledge him and I didn't realize that he loved me as much as he did. And the more I begin to worship him and begin to pray to him and begin to read his word and, you know, communicate with him through prayer, I then understood the reality of God. I understood that God is always watching over me. He's interested in everything, in things that I never thought he was interested in. Sometimes, and this is to encourage some of you, sometimes God is waiting for you to ask that question, right? To ask him about something that's going on in your life. He's waiting. He wants interaction. Sometimes some of you, maybe as parents or whatnot, right? You try to balance that change between your son and your daughter, your child, when they're entering into another stage of their life. You don't want to be too pushy, but you don't want to be too absent, right? And you don't want to seem like you're intruding. So you kind of feel like, well, do I ask or do I give the advice or do I kind of sit back and allow them to figure it out? Well, God is nothing like that, but yet he's not, with all the power he has, he will not intrude, but at the same time, he will gently nudge and he will gently tell you or try to tell you that I'm here and I'm here whenever you need me. But I'm here to talk to. I'm here to lean on, you know, and I think that a lot of times as we're walking with God, we don't really understand that God truly does take an interest in us in a more intimate way. So let's get back to what we were talking about on favor, right? So the one that I wanted to discuss is when it talks about Bethlehem. Bethlehem is a small village among the people of Judah, okay? It's the most insignificant little town. Like for instance, I give you a city name, maybe Stockton, California, or Sacramento, California, right? Sacramento, of course, is like the capital city of California. But compared to some of the other cities like Los Angeles, like San Francisco, I mean, Sacramento is just, it's just the capital. Now, of course, there's a few things there that are now, you know, more notable than Sacramento. But on a world scale or on even a state regional scale, it's small. And so what this verse is really saying, too, is that Bethlehem is a small village, but yet a ruler of Israel, which will be someone that will shine the light on a little town of Bethlehem. Remember the Christmas song that says, "Oh, little town of Bethlehem"? It was the most small, significant place, but yet the most awesome thing happened, which was the birth of Jesus Christ that came out of Bethlehem. And yeah, and now guess what? Songs are written by it. We now know it as the birthplace of Jesus Christ. So this is one of those times where we see that God is shining a light on something that is small and insignificant and bringing to the attention to that place. So that's amazing, right? So when it comes to God's favor, you know, God will bring you to a place in your life where he'll shine his favor and his blessings on you. And you may feel small and insignificant. You may feel like little me, like I'm just a nobody. But God doesn't never see you that way. And like I told you before, he's always watching you. He's always aware of you. And guess what? He thinks that you are the greatest thing since sliced bread. You are the apple of his eye. You are his favorite. I told my wife the other day about God. I said, guess what? And I looked at her when I said this. I said, you know, God, you're God's favorite. Did you know that? I mean, everybody thinks that way. And then we all know this. But like I told her, I said, you're God's favorite. You're his daughter. And you know something? When we take that and we take that attitude, or we know that by faith, you look in the mirror or look at yourself and say, I'm God's favorite. I'm his favorite. I'm his favorite child. That means that God loves you and he grants you his favor. You know, I've seen kids, and you might know people that sometimes their behavior is so bad, so raw, so unrestrained at times, right? But have you ever seen someone like that? And then you look at the parent and the parent says, my child can do no wrong. Like, no matter what this child does, no matter how bad and mischievous this child is, the mother of the child says, I love him and he can do no wrong. And sometimes that's how God is with us, I think. I think that God says, my son or my daughter can do no wrong. But at the same time, he does discipline us. He does discipline us. He does course correct us. He does allow circumstances to happen in your life, in my life, that will check us to the point where we got to get ourselves right. And life has a way of teaching you, but also God doesn't always intervene when it comes to our choices and our mishaps, because a lot of times he says you got to learn. So yes, this is not taking liberty to do whatever you want to do and think that God's going to bail you out, because God doesn't do that. God sometimes allows a situation in your life for you to make that mistake, or sometimes he will just say, okay, they got to learn. Because guess what? Just like I told you, God is always watching us all the time. He's always listening, but he's always talking. And it goes back to the answer that I gave someone that was asking me about, how does God talk to you? Listen, God always is talking, but we just have to listen. We have to listen. We have to learn to hear his voice. We have to learn his voice when it comes to us. Now, the way he talks to me may not be the way he talks to you, but in circumstances and situations that happen in our life, God is always dealing with us. Sometimes he's silent, yes. Sometimes he's not saying very many words or descriptions or descriptive words, but his presence is always there. He says, and I believe this, when Jesus said in his word to his disciples, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know what? I believe him. I believe him. I believe that what he says is true. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, right? Well, that's the same with God. God is the same way. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You're His. You're His child. He will never, as your heavenly Father, ever abandon you. So that's a wonderful thing and a wonderful thought to think on. And with that, I'm going to close this out. I've been talking long enough. But listen, I want you to come away with the fact as we're going through this devotional series of favor that God loves you no matter what, no matter what. And that's what I love most about the Lord is when you begin to discover that God is committed and devoted to you, then guess what? I hope that should change your devotion to Him. He loves you through your ups and downs and your changes. And when you're not consistent, He still loves you. And that's what, if anything, that you get out of this so far is that's part of that favor. His presence, His attention, His constant attentiveness to you. Not just to you, but to all of us in our own way. So I hope that you understand it in that way. You may feel insignificant. You may feel small. But guess what? When God shines a light on you, you are special to Him. And you are the apple of His eye. You are His favorite. All right. I got one more thing to share with you. And we'll get out of here. Hey guys, this is your guy Larry. How you guys doing today? This a little bit of a break in between episodes or segments. I wanted to, first of all, thank you again for all of you that have been listening and following me on this podcast journey. Yes, it's been a journey from the time that I first started recording, which was formerly Black Nerds Biblecast, to Larry's Biblecast. And God has really been doing some wonderful and awesome things in my life, in my life of myself, and also in the life of the podcast as it's been growing. So first of all, I just want to really thank you so much for just your listener support and things like that. And entering into a brand new year of 2022, I'm so excited about where things will go with us from here. Also, obviously, where God is going to be leading us. So again, just want to thank you, want to appreciate you for everything that you're doing. Now, the last thing I want to mention is some of you have also reached out to find out how can you all support this podcast. Yes, I've never really thought about getting the support that I needed. I enjoy doing this as a hobby. I enjoy just recording and also spreading the gospel. And that's the main thing. So for some of you that desire that, and maybe God has put it on your heart to sow into this podcast, I really greatly appreciate it. I haven't thought of any amount, and really there's really no specific amount that I've come up with. So again, that's all only left up to you, the listener. If you decide that you would like to sow into this podcast, I greatly appreciate it. Whatever God puts on your heart to do, I am so happy to do that. Where this will go is that just to continue the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ and just help to expand this effort, this ministry. I guess you want to call it a ministry now. So I'm just excited about that and where you can go. So at the end of the broadcast or the podcast, as you're listening to, always look into the description. Look in the description. There's a link there to my Cash App, and you can actually go ahead and donate whatever amount. Again, whatever God has put on your heart to do, I greatly appreciate it. Look into the description. Click on the link. It will go directly to the Cash App. And your donation will go toward advancing the gospel and gospel for the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Amen. So again, thank you so very much for just you listening, for you just being a part of this listening audience and the journey that continues on with Larry's Biblecast. Now, get back to listening to some more of this awesome episode. Hey, so welcome back. So before I leave you today, let's read this short devotional. And I love devotionals, as you can tell. This one here I came across today, and it's in out of the YouVersion Bible app on the phone. And this was in the chapter 1, verse 16 of Romans. But this one has to do with news. Now, news that says the noun of news, previously unknown information, a report of recent events and announcements. What is going on? We want to know, we need to know, news of what is happening in our communities, our countries, our world is so important. There are lots of reasons why we should pay attention to the news. It's not hard to find. We hear it, we watch it, we get updates on our phones. What's interesting to me is that no matter where we get our information, we call it the news. The news, sometimes we call it local news, world news, good news, bad news, old news, or breaking news, or maybe you might have recently heard for the last couple of years or so, fake news. But we refer to all kinds when we talk about the news. Did you hear the news? Are you watching the news? It might be on the news, like it is the only news there is. No matter how devastating, shocking, maddening, or frighteningly close to us today's stories are, they are only or not only the news. There is news breaking every day that we need to tune into. It is the good news, the best news of Jesus' love and redemption. It is the life-changing message that God wants everyone to hear and respond to. It is his message of freedom and forgiveness and hope. It's his message that what we see, what we hear right now, is not the end of the story. There is a bigger story going on with a much happier ending ahead. I wish this could tick across the bottom of every television screen, headline every article, and pop up on our phones each day. With the daily or nightly news is tragic, scary, and disheartening, what will we do? Will we take action to help people, to change things for people for the better, or to pray? Will we remember that it is not the only news? Will we be open to sharing the best news ever with all people in every corner of the earth? Let's be proud to proclaim the love of Jesus. It's really good news. Invite him in. Turn to Jesus for a reminder of his good news today. No matter what is going on in the world, your community, your home, or your heart, his powerful message of redemption endures. Let him show you what is true and remind you of the hope he brings. Every morning, every evening, every hour of every day, his powerful plan to rescue us, his incredible love that triumphs over evil, that's our top priority. And that is our top story. So, what do you guys think about that? Listen, it's so much that we can take from this about news. But the most important thing out of all the news that we see, like the devotional just said, is the fact that to to love God and the good news that Jesus Christ came and redeemed us. We now have a relationship with God. You have a relationship with God. And what is your relationship with God like? Do you realize that there's some people out there, people that you know, people that you work around, that you associate yourself with sometimes, that don't really know the hope that you have, the life that you have with God? Maybe they just know that you go to church, or maybe they just know you read your Bible. Maybe they know that you probably don't use curse words, or maybe you don't drink or smoke or whatever they think that a Christian does and don't do. But do they know about Christ? Do they know him? I mean, are you able to open up a conversation with somebody and talk to them about Jesus Christ, that how he's turned your life around? Think about that today. And I know some of us sometimes don't want to really talk about religion. We think it's religion, but it's not just religion, it's relationship. Let me just say this one last thing to you. Two things. One, if you think people are not concerned about God or have an interest in God or Jesus Christ, you might be wrong. Okay. Second thing, though, is you're the closest person that they have to a testimony. Watching the change that God has made in your life has really impacted them in such a way that they enjoy being around you. They're curious about how real it is. Can they really have a true relationship with God? So many people around us have these misconceptions about a relationship with God. Will God accept me as I am? Or does he even love me? Does he care about me? You would be surprised if you open up the conversation with someone when the time is right, of the concerns that people have. Some people think that God is only connected to church, and they feel that the only place they can discover God is going to church. You would be surprised of the questions and concerns that people have when it comes to having a relationship with God. Some people even don't, or verbally will tell you they don't believe in God. But sometimes the truth of the matter is they want to believe, but they're finding it hard to believe. You are the greatest testimony to someone that is searching, that is asking or kind of pondering these questions, but never said anything to you about it. I want you to really ask God to open your spiritual eyes and your spiritual ears, and ask the Holy Spirit to empower you, to give you the words to say, to be able to have the boldness that you need to have at a time, of course, that's appropriate. Sometimes it's not appropriate to talk about these things at your job or at your school, but there may be a time during break, or there may be a time outside of your job, or maybe someone may call you, or maybe you exchange a number or so. And that could be your opportunity to share the good news that you have about Jesus Christ. Listen, Jesus has not came back yet. We're not at the final end, even though we're in the last and final days. Right now is a good time to share that message with someone. Maybe that someone is your child, your grandchild, your parent, or someone close to you in your family. Maybe your neighbor, or maybe a good friend. And you've talked about every single thing around them, but you never talked to them about Jesus. Don't let time run out, whether it's the time that unexpectedly Jesus will come back and that'll be the end, or the end could be the end of life for you or for them. But whatever it is, don't allow too much time to take place without telling them about Christ. I'm not saying that you go outside and get a bullhorn and get on a soapbox and tell the neighborhood about him. Even though I do see people do that. And if God is leading you to do that, then so be it. But I am saying, though, is given the opportunity, open your mouth and your heart to someone and tell them about Jesus. Tell them what you know about Jesus. Tell them what Jesus has done for you and your family in your life. Tell them how your life has been changed for the better. And who knows, maybe the moment that you tell them and share that message with them, their eyes and their heart will open, and they will be open to not just your testimony and their confirmation of saying, I knew something different about you. And at that point, you can be the person to lead them to Christ, to lead them in that prayer. God is changing one life at a time, whether it's through you or whether it's through me. So I just wanted to share that with you. This was a very impactful devotional. And again, as I said before in this devotional about favor, you are special. God wants to use you, and God wants to give you favor. And as he gives you favor, guess what? Your love for God will begin to grow. And guess what? You can also share that love to others. You are someone that will make an impact on other people too. And you are special. Until next time, God bless you. I'll be talking to you soon. Have a wonderful day, wonderful afternoon, or a wonderful week or weekend. God bless.